I want to be in nature, but not bugs and critters.
That ain't nature.
I know. That's serene. Like, I want to go to the luxury tree houses.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. I want to go. Not by myself. Mm. I need to go with a man that can handle
anything
that would come.
Yes. Welcome to Artistry Avenue, a Reclaiming Our Time podcast, where we examine the intersection between theater and social issues. My name is Natasha Ajax, and I'm the executive director of Reclaiming Our Time.
I think I'm still J. Marjorie Henderson, artistic director of Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
And I am J. Rochelle Fowler, marketing director for Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
Oh, my jeez.
So I have no idea what we were talking about leading into that show. That introduction is going to sound real interesting. That was really interesting. Mm. It's probably a good thing that people can't hear.
But if you know what I'm talking about, DM me.
Okay.
There it is. There you go.
She's trying to turn the podcast to a date.
Advertise. I'm saying, hey, look, if it's out there, advertise.
It's out there.
You know what? So with that being said, and as we segue to our actual topic of today, today's topic is professional versus professionalism.
Let's talk about
They are not mutually exclusive. That's for sure.
So who's going to unpack that first?
So I think a lot of times folks will label themselves as a professional simply because they got a check. For doing what they did. Like, let's say, since we don't talk about theater, there are some actors who feel like because they have been paid for a stipend. And we're talking a stipend. Mm-hmm. Not no salary, not just a little token of an appreciation for your volunteer services on the stage, that they are professional. And that is not the case. That is not the case because professionalism has to deal with work ethics. You know what I'm saying? Has to deal with how you show up, how you present yourself, and what you do, not only on stage, behind the stage, in preparation for getting on the stage, how you enter and exit the whole atmosphere.
Interact with your peers, whether it is other actors, whether it's your crew,
production team.
People definitely get those two terms mixed up because professionalism is firstly showing up
on time
and being present while you're there. Just because you're in the room doesn't mean that you're presently there. And I've heard horror stories of people who bastardize the professional aspect of it. They show up anytime they want to. They learn whatever lines they choose to learn, or they do whatever song they choose to do, and they still get the check. How do I respond as a fellow actor or a counterpart on that stage, and I'm here on time doing what I'm supposed to do, and here you show up doing what lollygagging, and you still and we're still getting paid the same amount, but you can call yourself professional.
Right. And it's almost like those who deem themselves professional as a professional actor feel like that excludes them from certain types of accountability. You know what I'm saying? Because I've worked with folks who have labeled, you know, self-labeled themselves as a professional and also would like to try to quote their resume, which could be extensive, but your work doesn't reflect the title of professional.
So then that lends the question, if you're not exemplifying, if you're not demonstrating professionalism, why do you keep getting work?
Right.
That's a great question.
I think it goes back to...
That's a great question. Because I know you mentioned in an episode before how this area is inundated with talent, specifically Black talent. But sometimes we go after the same people. And I think that's a level of comfort because I work with you. I know. Well, I don't know, because if I know how you work, then why do I keep employing you?
Because I think sometimes people think that your talent should excuse.
It should supersede what you're.
It should supersede your behavior and your work ethics. Like, I don't subscribe to that. I don't care how talented you are. I'd rather have someone who may not have the experience or the developed skill.
Or the talent. Because that can be taught.
I can teach you what you need to be done. But if you had this massive a talent, massive talent, but you can't show up and your work ethics don't reflect, I don't want you. I don't want to work with you. Mm-mm. And I don't have no problems telling you that. Or telling a director, I don't want to be in this show because this person.
And word gets around.
Yeah,
word gets around.
And it does.
As a director, I can also tell you and agree with you that if I have someone in front of me who may not exactly be what I want, mm-hmm. or demonstrate the level of talent that I'm looking for, and they are up against someone who either has whose reputation is not that great, or who I know is a diva, mm-hmm. or difficult to work with, and
yeah,
I will take the mediocre person and sit down, have a conversation with them, work with them before I will deal with that one that is more challenging. And then the other part, and I thought about it when you just made your statement, is sometimes, and I've heard it, being someone who's on the production side, I have heard, if I cast this person, I know I'm going to get butts in the seats. So right. They cast people because they know they have a following and people are going to come to that show, which goes back to what we talked about in the other podcast. The bottom line is the dollar.
Mm. But you know what that comes back to? Because most of the time, as a patron of the arts, right, you don't see what's going on in the background. You don't know how difficult your favorite actor
yes.
is. You don't know that your favorite actor barely made it to the show, didn't show up for call times, didn't show up for rehearsals, was very problematic, but you're just excited to see that person on stage.
And probably because they are
so talented.
I've been in a show wherein, so in the scene, my character opens the door to this other character. Mm-hmm. And there were nights that I wasn't sure that this person would be on the other side of the door.
That part.
Because when call time, they weren't there. Mm-hmm. Getting dressed, they weren't there. Fight call, they weren't there. So when I open this door,
don't know,
and nobody's there, what do I? So
you better have your backup dialogue.
Exactly. Right. That's why I got to start improvising.
Exactly. I have honed my improv skills
just for that.
Just because I have worked with quote unquote professional actors, mm-hmm. that did not show up the way they should have. Mm. Like I've been in a show with an actor who had 75% of the lines in the whole play. And every night, that actor would skip a chunk of the play. And each night, like Friday, she would skip 12 through pages 12 through 32.
Just random
Saturday, she would skip 42 through, like you just, every night was an improv because you didn't know. And yet they labeled themselves as a professional. And sometimes we look at, I would imagine, as a director, sometimes you can look at a resume, mm-hmm. and you would think that because this person has been in so many wonderful shows that they will appear on paper to be mm-hmm. a professional. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we gotta stop enabling this type of behavior, mm. because that's what mm. we're doing. Of course, we love to see some of our favorite actors on stage. We know that they're talented. But if their work ethic is not matching what they're presenting on stage, then we're just enabling them to go to the next show and behave that same way. Accountability is important.
I might be ignorant, but I didn't know this market was large enough for people to have their own followings that big.
There are.
I didn't know that. And that's probably my ignorance. And I don't mean to, diminish what's right. going on here in this area, with the Triangle area, because I know there's a lot of great theater here.
You have a following.
But it's shifting, though.
I don't have a following.
You have a following. Well,
if y'all behind me, back up. <'Cause> I don't know where I'm going. So,
and I don't think there's nothing wrong with having a following.
No, nothing
that
at all.
Love
of course not.
Seeing
yeah, there are some actors I love to see on stage.
You want to see them on stage. What, you may not know the production, but because they're in it.
Really?
Because you know they're going to bring it.
Yeah, but see, I look for shows mostly, well, to support my friends mostly.
Right.
Or I look at the show to see, this is an interesting story. I've never picked a show I wanted to see because of who was in it.
But there's been shows.
Unless it was Friends. Friends.
But like, if you're unfamiliar with the play, like you've mm-hmm. never heard of it, never heard anyone talk about it,
right.
May not be a lot on social media, YouTube's right. about it, then I may be drawn because of who's in it.
Mm.
And sometimes, and I'm be honest, I have some friends
yeah.
who are brilliant.
Oh, okay. She said, I have some friends, and then she paused.
That are brilliant actors, right?
But yeah, yeah.
I would never, and I have told them, because, you know, I'm very straight up. I have told them I would not do a show with you, or I do not want to do another show with you because of your work ethics. Because I value what you do behind the scenes, what you do in rehearsals. I value how you show up. Like, if as a scene partner, if I got to be concerned whether or not you're going to deliver your lines, if you're going to be here on time, then I don't want to work with you.
Because there's a trust on that stage.
Right.
I have to be able to trust
that you're going to do and, what we it's are a back,
it's a back and
do.
Forth. Acting is reacting. If
it
you're
is.
Not giving me anything,
me too.
We just here. We just up here.
Right. Because otherwise, it's just a monologue.
At this point.
If it's a one-woman show, let me know before we, you know what I'm saying? Because if you're not going to, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm very big on that. And I don't have no problems telling folks, I don't want to work with you. I don't have no problems telling a director. There are some people who are so unprofessional that if I showed up at an audition and they in the room, I'm walking out just because there's a chance that we may be cast together and I don't want to have to tell the director.
You know, and I want to be very clear, it's not a diva move. It is not a diva move. But there are things that happen behind the scenes. Josh, I know we've had this conversation before. That's where I was going. Where there are things that happen behind the scenes that the audience doesn't know about, you know, just their productions that wonderful have sold out every show and you have no idea how taxing it is. Draining. And there can be like one person or two or a clique of people that have caused so much chaos backstage.
Right.
And so there are times where I have been in auditions as a stage manager because we know I don't act. And
yet.
Because we know yet. I don't act
okay.
yet. And I have literally said to the director, because if they're considering someone, I will let them know, I don't work with this person.
Mm-hmm.
I have a will not.
You have a list?
I have a will not work with
too.
List.
Yeah. Really?
I have a do not work
with. Wow.
Yes. Do not work. A lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said to
folks know who they know who they are.
I have said to the director and not in a, again, not.
Not in a malicious
not
way.
Diva-ish
way.
Yes, it's not. Look, this is someone I do not work with. If you choose to cast them, I will remove myself from the production.
I would even recommend somebody to replace me.
Yeah, it's nothing personal. We can work together again in the future, just so that you know.
But not
I just don't work with this person. Because there are some people that maybe they do consider themselves professional, even if they don't consider themselves professional, but they bring so much chaos. Or they bring the cliquish mentality.
Who they are as a person,
right?
You mean.
Yeah, all of that it is such a headache.
And then there's a sense of entitlement. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes folks can be praised so much in this community that they start believing their own hype. Mm-hmm. You know, start believing that they are irreplaceable. You know what I'm saying? They feel that you know what I'm saying? That especially if they are in a situation that we discussed previously where there are some theater that will use the same actors over and over again, right? And then there's this comfortableness. They feel like, okay, all I got to do is just say I'm interested. I know I'm going to get cast.
Right.
But I also want to say that this is not limited to actors. Because there are stage managers.
Yes.
There are production teams that are unprofessional.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want us to stop chasing the profession, you know, the title. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to show up, whether you're volunteer, whether you're getting paid a stipend, where you're getting paid a large sum of money to perform, there still should be accountability.
For sure.
And that comes back to character.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? Because you want to always try, and especially hard for us. And when I say us, I'm talking about BIPOC. Because oftentimes, if one person is unprofessional in a theater production, it makes it very challenging.
We're so easily labeled.
For the next group to come in, whether or not the theater would trust. Because I was in a situation where it was the first time 4 Black actors was on this stage. And one person was unprofessional, and it just made us all look bad collectively. So we got to take accountability for not only who we represent individually, but who we represent collectively. Because unfortunately, we're still in a state where we're being judged collectively for the acts of our individual acts. Right.
And this might be taking a jump, but I think that leads itself into tokenism, wherein theater companies will choose the same BIPOC person because we know how they are.
Right.
But on the outside looking in, it's like, why are they always looking choosing this one person?
Because they don't represent us.
Right.
They don't represent the whole.
You can't cast this one person in every one of your productions because it looks like he looks like a token.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But or she looks like, right.
But from the business perspective, we know how this person works and that they're easy to work with. And it's sad that you can't open that up to everybody else because you're not sure what you're going to get.
So we're comfortable with that person. Mm-hmm. And if we try to bring another one in, it's going to make us uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
True. But if you bring in somebody else who's not professional, who doesn't exhibit professionalism,
right?
Then we're back at that same argument,
though. Right? And then it gives them the credibility to say,
right? That's that gray area, I guess. Right?
This is why we only work with this person.
This one we're not going to bring. We can't bring too many in
because one person can mess it up for the rest of us.
I thought they said one monkey don't stop no show. Not to call anybody a monkey.
Let's I'm be just saying clear.
The right. euphemism.
Right.
it might just be my, because I go, when I do a show, I go in and I know what my role is. Not just the role I play on the stage. I know my role as the talent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I come in, I have to be prepared, know my lines, move here, move there, go
show
home.
Show up on time.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm not, a lot of this that you all are experiencing, it's like new to me. I didn't know all this was going on because, again, I don't want
to
sound
like you show up.
Right. I don't want
to
sound like I'm being derogatory to the Triangle area.
Yeah.
But why are there divas in the Triangle Theater area?
It's not just the Triangle area.
No. We're speaking
of, yeah. Okay. I know that's where we're located. And for sure. Everywhere else, yeah.
That is a question.
But in this market, I don't think there's room enough for that.
So let me ask this question.
Me either.
As we talk about professional versus professionalism, we can also look at actual theater companies. We have regional, professional, and we have community theater. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I know for a fact that some of the process and procedures are different depending on those categories. Mm-hmm. But you have people in professional theater who, in some cases, their talent is not there. You have community theater actors that could, you know, act them out of the water. You have professional theater companies who community theaters are more professional than they are.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's an individual choice.
Are we caught up on titles? Because I've been thinking about something because I do this. I do this and I'm aware of it, but I don't know the best way. So I'm an equity stage manager and people will introduce me that way. And they'll look at me, what's that mean? So I'll just say I'm a professional stage manager. And I'm like, should I just say I'm a unionized stage manager? Like,
because professionalism gets tossed. It's a buzzword. Mm-hmm. Well, professional is a buzzword.
Professional by definition means that you're paid to do something. Mm-hmm. But that's a very generic overview of what I deem a professional to be.
It leaves too much room for interpretation.
Gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because you picked up a piece of paper and somebody paid you for it, now you're a professional janitor.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Right. By definition, that's what that is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you picked up a piece of paper
right.
that you happened to see.
Right.
Right.
But let's define it. But see, I think we need to, because that's what I mean. Like, it's a buzzword.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone who has gotten paid to get on stage, technically, could call themselves
a professional. My thing is, if everyone's a professional, what's a professional?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's an amateur?
Versus the amateur.
Right.
Because some people would be like, well, this is your first time. If your first show, you're getting paid, are you an amateur or are you a professional?
Both. Slash.
You're slash, right?
Right. Because you haven't learned the stratagems of theater. Mm-hmm. You just got paid for a show because you were lucky. Mm-hmm. The theater company was lucky enough or was able enough to pay you.
Right.
Or give you some kind of financial gain.
So what can we as
What can we, as reclaiming our time, as where we present with excellence, what can we do about professionalism? Demonstrate it?
For sure.
We pull, if we see someone that, you know, they're always late, they're not calling the stage manager, you know, those types of things.
Should I think it's our responsibility to call them out.
But some people have been called out, and they still don't listen.
In a malicious way or in a defensive way. But I know I individually, if I'm in a show with someone who is not showing up, I don't have any problems pulling my sis or my brother to the side and be like, ma'am, sir, your behavior is not acceptable. It's making us look bad. Mm-hmm. It's making me look bad. And then because collectively, I mean, we cannot help it. If I do good, I did well. Mm-hmm. If I did bad, we did bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think we got to hold each other accountable.
For sure.
And I think sometimes holding somebody accountable, we're going to have to have them hard conversations with our counterpart, you know, with our scene partners.
But what do you do when you have those conversations and this person doesn't correct the behavior and they still get cast or get hired at a production company?
Constantly.
How can you tell me that I'm doing something wrong if I'm still getting work?
Because there was a young lady I've had several conversations with about that. And that's, in her mind, she doesn't see it because she keep getting bull.
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, so how are you seeing a problem that
nobody else is seeing?
Right.
In her mind. Right.
Because at that point, you're the issue.
Right.
Because you are.
I'm the only one saying
something. You're the one speaking.
And you out there looking at me. I'm on stage.
Right.
So yeah.
And it goes back to our previous conversation. Why can't I speak?
Yeah, exactly. Why can't I speak?
Why can't I speak? Why can't I tell you that you're wrong? That you're not showing up?
Yeah.
That you're making us look bad, that your work ethics are horrible. Why can't I?
And then you listen. Not just hear it, but you listen and change. Because
if you were to tell me that, I'm changing behavior. Mm-hmm. But that goes back to, do you care enough? Mm-hmm. It goes back to, do you care enough to do better? Because we all got to care enough to do better. Yes. We got to, and you got to be able to trust that if you come into me in love about a behavior that I need to correct.
Right.
Then I need to be able to listen. I need to be able to look in the mirror. Look at the man, like Michael said, look at the man in the mirror.
Yeah. That word trust came back up too. Mm-hmm. That's a strong word.
You got to be able to
It's a strong word.
So what I think what we can do is to put ourselves in positions to hold each other accountable and then be able to trust each other. Trust what you're saying. I'm trusting that you're coming to me in love to better me, because we just got to, we get to exemplify it, but we got to be able to show that we
I know care. Within rec time, we
keep it real.
Yeah, we call each other out all the time, setting each other straight. You know, I'm always forgetting stuff, and you know.
It's iron sharpening iron.
It does.
But if you brass, how am I sharpening you?
Okay.
What you said?
Yes. Or if you paper thin, can't nobody tell you nothing.
Come on here.
And you shredding.
So maybe we can, you know, ask our audience members to maybe just do some self-inventory. Has someone pulled you aside and said something to you and you ignored it?
But let's be honest. If you know that you're late to rehearsals all the time, if you know that people are just frank, like when you walk in the room, everybody like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. If people got to go, when you show up because they wasn't expecting you, then come on.
Yeah. Or if you're trying to open the door and you go to open the door and you're not sure they're going to be there.
Right. Like if somebody is shocked, if somebody's shocked because you showed up.
Yeah. Or you miss all the rehearsal, then you come to tech week. Like, that's another thing.
Right. Oh, don't show up for tech.
That was a production story I have.
Yeah. Right.
So again, that's our professional versus professionalism.
Oh man.
And I think that if we show more professionalism, maybe we then can develop ourselves professionals.
Hopefully so.
Well, there we go again.
There it is. Yet another one.
That part.
And I can't wait to hear
the feedback for this one.
The feedback.
Yeah. For sure.
I can't wait.
And if you have ideas how we can help elevate each other collectively to be more professional, share.
Yes. Sounds like a plan.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Artistry Avenue, the intersection of theater and social issues. Artistry Avenue is a Reclaiming Our Time production. To learn more about Reclaiming Our Time, visit www.reclaimingourtime.org. That's reclaimingourtime.org. If you would like to share your stories or give us feedback, you can email us at reclaimingourtimethepodcast@gmail.com or call us at 984-401-0616. We look forward to hearing from you. Our inaugural theater production, Native, written by Ian Finley, runs September 13th through the 22nd, 2024, at the North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater in Raleigh, North Carolina. Tickets are now available for purchase at www.reclaimingourtime.org/current.